Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a compassionate guide for those seeking to heal and thrive. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach and fellow traveler on the path to healing. In this podcast, we will engage in heartfelt conversation with experts in the field of trauma healing. We'll explore ways to cultivate feeling safe in our bodies and in connection to others, so that we can be present to live the life we've been given more fully and with more joy. Join us as we navigate the way towards a life restored. Introducing your host, Monique Coven.
I'm sharing a conversation that I had with Britt Frank. Britt is a trauma therapist, and she's the author of the book, The Science of Stuck. I thought she'd be a really great person to have a conversation about trauma and ADHD. Our conversation would be very spontaneous and informal. I think that you will relate to a lot of it. I hope that you enjoy this conversation. And now, on to the episode. Hi, Britt. It's so good to see you.
I'm so happy to be talking to you today.
I had you on a long time ago, and I loved it. And people still listen to that episode. I am so glad to have you back. You've done so many things since the last time that we've chatted. So for those who don't know you, I would love if you could introduce yourself.
Yeah, last time we chatted, I was on my couch in my living room. My set up. That's so funny. So hi, everybody. I'm Britt Frank. I'm a licensed neuropsychotherapist. I'm a trauma specialist. I'm the author of the book, The Science of Stuck and Align Your Mind, which is about parts work, coming out in May, and a recovering hot mess of a human being who was just a train wreck and figure out a few things. And now I like to share my show and tell from my journey through Hades. That's my spiel.
I just love that you say you're a hot mess, because many of us feel like hot messes and we don't get the validation. We're like, you don't want to tell people that we feel like a hot mess. And then when you tell everybody that you're a hot mess and you're doing amazing work, it encourages us that we can be hot messes and still be making an impact, making a difference, having a good life. That's so encouraging. Thank you.
Happy to lead the charge on the Hot Mess Express with imposter syndrome. And I know we're just jamming. You know, I'm just sitting at my desk. I'm not in my formal podcast setup. It's more like, imposter syndrome is not a syndrome. Syndrome implies, one, that it comes and it goes and that it shouldn't be there. But imposter is just I would prefer to call it the imposter experience, because I think it's a very human experience. And I know no one who doesn't have it to a degree, unless they're like narcissistic sociopaths.
Exactly. They would not be able to relate. So yes, I know. Thank you for normalizing that, because I think many of us, we come on here and we want to share our hearts, and then we hear those voices. What are you doing? You've got nothing to share. Oh, all of that garbage. And then we're listening to it, and we really want to be like, but everyone's like that. So that's good to know. I want to talk about why I invited you here. And by the way, we will talk about your book that's coming up. That's very exciting. And the book of The Science of Stuck. Yes, I love that. What a title. Stuck is what so many of us feel. I listened to it on audio and I have the physical book. I loved it. So thank you for that. I wanted to invite you to have a spontaneous conversation about ADHD and trauma. I know that we're not going to talk here and have the answer or the explanation or the solution, but rather just going to have a conversation about it, because it is common for many of us. The more I talk to people, and people with trauma as well, they tell me they realize sometimes late in life, like myself, that they have ADHD. And it can be confusing sometimes, because some of the symptoms of trauma seem quite similar to some of the symptoms of ADHD.
I love that we're talking about this because it's such a hot button topic. ADHD in and of itself is a whole thing, and trauma is a whole thing. Yep. Is it trauma or is it ADHD is really good clickbait. And it's such a complicated answer. It's so much more complicated than what's your diagnosis. Because I'm a big fan of labeling and I like having names so I can categorize symptoms. And we'll talk about ADHD versus trauma and the overlap. And I know that's what we're here to do. But I'll also say the having this is what it's called is great. But even more important than what we call it is what it is. Do I have ADHD? And this is for me personally. I'm not saying that this is my clinical expertise for every single person and everyone should do it. You know how I feel about my disclaimers.
Yes, I do.
Do what you need to do. For me, the question is less, do I have ADHD or do I have trauma? The question that I prefer is, what works for me? Because even if I were to subscribe to all the ADHD protocols or to all the trauma protocols, that doesn't mean they're all going to work for me. And so even as a professional analyzed behavior person by trade, I would still rather know, let's try stuff and see if it works. Because guess what? ADHD interventions sometimes work for people who don't have it. And trauma interventions sometimes work for people who don't identify as having trauma. So what it is and what box it goes in is less important to me than what are our menu of options. And given those, what do we want to try? And of those, what works? But it's a big question. That was a very
No, that was really good. I think for those of us who've had trauma, we have often felt out of control and everything feels big and overwhelming. And so when we have those categories you're talking about, we feel a bit safer. Oh, that's what it is. I'll put it here. And then I can do this and this makes sense. And so we feel like we have a little bit more control. I think labels for that purpose so that we can do something about it. I'll speak a little bit about myself. Long time ago, when I was trying to speak with my doctor, and we're talking decades, and I said, I think I have trauma. And as we know, trauma at that time wasn't recognized. And then I said, I think I have ADHD. And she's like, no, it's very much like anxiety. No. And I'm like, but I think so, because I kind of fit some of the criteria. And I insisted with her and ended up getting tested. And in those days, didn't understand the full picture. It came back that I had anxiety. It's like everything was anxiety, not trauma, not ADHD. But it continued to plague me. And then now, decades later, diagnosed, you know, with complex trauma. And doing these strategies that I was taught in therapy with some of my ADHD symptoms, and I'm not getting any traction, and I'm getting very frustrated. I'm not understanding. And then I decided to meet someone. She was a neuropsychologist. She understood fully about trauma and diagnosing complex trauma, and she also was an expert in ADHD. Wouldn't you know it? It was right. I felt relief knowing, okay, now I can do something about it, the same way I felt with the trauma diagnosis. But still running into sort of the same things because they are quite similar. Do we need the diagnosis to feel better? I think what you said at the beginning is if what we're doing for it works, then that's really, and I think that's what you said, unless I'm just making up my own stuff. That's really what we need to look at.
That's true for me personally. And that's true for where I'm at in my life now. So also complex trauma survivor, I would meet criteria for any number of different things, depending on what decade of life you asked me. At any point in my life, for me, the name of it is less important than the strategies. But at the beginning, I needed the labels because with each label comes a bucket of activities and exercises and medications and tools. So I was like, do I have bipolar? Do I have borderline? What is this thing? I'm going to try all the things associated with these labels just to see, does any of it work? Now, the label is also, and it's important to mention this too, sometimes you need the label to get access to the medical care and the therapeutic care, because a lot of people who practice within the system won't treat you and won't even give you the things that you might find helpful if you don't carry the diagnosis. Insurance won't cover your therapy often if you don't. As a clinician, I can't not give someone a diagnosis if they want to use insurance, because that's one of the requirements. So the diagnosis thing is necessary in a broken system that demands it. It's helpful as a starting place for what information might be useful. And where I am now, for me personally, ultimately, it's like, call it whatever you want. I've got these weird, quirky things about myself that some of them I accommodate by behavior. Like I sit with fidget things all day long because I've got wonky sensory things. Some of them I accommodate with medication. And some of them I just... like, these are just parts of my personality that are quirky. And some of them I work on in trauma therapy with a therapist. But I do, it's tricky because diagnoses are necessary for access, but they're also limiting if you're going on the, well, my ADHD makes me do this, therefore I can't do that. And sometimes that's true, but not always. And so it's important that diagnosis is a starting place and not an
endgame. Yeah. I hear you. And on the other end, sometimes I find that when I say my ADHD, like what you just said, it gives me, it's almost like a self-compassion piece when someone's giving me, for example, instructions and they say this and then this and then this. And okay, I lost you after the 6 second thing. I can say to myself, that's okay. Some self-compassion. This is your ADHD. It's too much. And I can ask them to, I can accommodate, make an accommodation. So for example, my vet, my dog had some surgeries recently and he'll tell me things and I'll ask permission. I'll say, hey, do you think I can pull out my phone and record what you say? I need to listen after because I can't catch it all. And then I'm glad I did that. So on the one hand, it can be very helpful.
And I agree with that. And again, I have lots of accommodations that I need for my variety of, is it this or is it trauma? You know, and I can do that with lots of different diagnoses for myself personally. So I like diagnosis as a way of organizing and categorizing. And like you said, if it helps you, I'm all about it. This is why it's so not helpful to have a one-size-fits-all type of ideology, especially when it comes to trauma or ADHD or any type of mental health-related thing, because it's so complex for me. And again, this is just how I human. When I go into my ADHD brain or my neurodivergent whatever, then feel the self-compassion anymore, but I feel like it's almost, when I use it, it's almost a pejorative. It's like, oh, there goes my, you know, my messed up brain again. And I don't take it to a light place. I take it to a not super awesome place. And so I don't use it personally, but I'm not sitting here telling you, well, you shouldn't say my ADHD brain, because if you access self-compassion with it, awesome. That's what I love about all of our work that we do, like all of us who are public facing, is take what's useful and leave the rest. I don't find using the labels accesses self-compassion for me, but I love that it does for you.
Sometimes we're messy because there can be other times where I can be upset. Why can they learn something that has 10 steps and I can't? And then I get upset, you know? So yeah. So,
I really get that too. For some of my quirkier struggles with the adult-y type tasks, then it's me versus my brain. And you know, with my work and parts work, I hate, and I don't like the word hate, but I do hate when the ideology that we believe forces us to feel like we're at war with our own minds. And so that's when I don't do this perfectly all the time, but I try to pivot. It's not my brain that's the problem. It's whatever the circumstances were, whether it was environment or trauma or genetics or whatever that caused my brain to adapt in these ways. I try to focus on, well, my brain adapted to something in this way. I don't know exactly what, but I'm not going to get mad at my brain. It's doing its best. And I know you get this too. Our brains are actually on our side always, even when it doesn't seem, especially when it doesn't seem like it. That's tricky.
So, Britt, that sounds like you are practicing self-compassion.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our body goes through, perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we don't suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over again in their reviews. And there's more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEALING at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Use the code HEALING for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I try. I don't do perfectly, but I try.
Yeah. So a question I'm going to throw out there, not that you have an answer, because I don't think anybody really does. But, you know, there are some people out there in the trauma community that say ADHD is caused by trauma. I don't know if you can really say that one causes another.
And there are people who are on the, they are digging in their heels that this is caused by trauma and everything is trauma and everything can be boiled down to trauma and trauma is end game and that is everything. That's also kind of limiting, because to say that ADHD is caused by trauma, then we've got to define, well, what definition of trauma are you saying is the causation factor? And then it's, you know, some people get into big T versus little T. I don't tend to use that language in my work, but like I get big T are the overt things and little T are the things that you wouldn't necessarily think of as trauma. But then it's, well, does only big T trauma cause ADHD? But can little T trauma cause ADHD? And even if it does, that still doesn't change the question. Well, what do we do now? And so I found that even if you don't have an ADHD diagnosis, that doesn't mean that ADHD tools won't be helpful. So is it this or is it that? The question before answering that question is, well, what does the answer to that question get you? And like you said, it's a sense of control, a sense of this is what it is. And I am clear without a doubt that this caused this. But even if we have that answer black and white, it doesn't change the dilemma, which is things are difficult, things are challenging, things are hard. How do we human in a way that makes us feel like our best selves? And so aside from access to resources and as a starting point, does trauma cause ADHD? My like glib answer is probably for some people sometimes, but not everyone.
But not everyone. Yeah. And would you be able to tell us the symptoms are very similar, but they're not exactly the same? Would you be able to share some stuff?
I mean, they can be. And it's tricky, though, because this is a trauma symptom that's manifesting in an ADHD person who doesn't identify as a trauma survivor. So I can't be like, here's the list of things that are only ADHD and here's the list of things that are only trauma, because there's also overlap, like my sensory issues. Even if I didn't have extensive trauma, which I do, would I still have weird tactile sensory things? I don't know. Maybe. So then is it an autism symptom? Is it an ADHD symptom? Is it a trauma symptom? I don't know is the answer. And so it's, what does that answer get? At what point does that answer move us towards solutions? And if it's, I want a hard and fast understanding of what this is and what caused what, here's the problem. And I don't know if this is widely known, but number one, clinicians can be licensed to diagnose and treat without ever learning about trauma or the brain. Like, you do not need to take any type of education in the brain in order to be, some degrees require it, most don't. And so a lot of people don't know that. And number two, no one really knows for sure how the brain works. Like, we have more information now than we ever did, but it's still a freaking mystery. And no one has any clue what consciousness is or how that works. So the stories that we formulate that then create the physical reactions that then take on the form of symptoms, we don't know how any of it works, which is a problem. And, you know, an interesting opportunity to surrender to the what is and not try to control it, which I really don't like.
Yeah, I think none of us like that.
I need to do to fix it, if only it were that simple.
Yeah, I really like that approach of what can we do that's helpful? Like, what can help us with this? And so I think of myself, and like I was giving the example with modifying when too much information comes in. That is something that I could recognize and I can do something about it. So there's something.
It's really tricky. So what I have found for myself and what I see often with clients is the diagnosis is the thing that allows them to feel not shame. It's somehow the diagnosis is a way to, it's not, I don't need to be ashamed because I'm a bad person. It's the ADHD. It's the trauma. And again, that's a great starting place. But the goal is to get to a, and again, I don't live here, but I try to visit it whenever I can. The goal is to not need to have a, because of this, I am valuable and I am worthy. You know, like, I'm still okay. It's my ADHD brain that makes me struggle. Well, okay, but you're okay and worthy even without the diagnosis. So you struggle. Welcome to being human. I don't know anybody who doesn't have a thing. It might not be a clinical thing or a medication needing thing or a big T trauma thing, but we all have our stuff. And so when diagnosis is used as a way to feel I'm okay, again, as a starting place, that's great. I needed that at the beginning as well. But we don't want to need to know because of this, I'm okay. It's because you're you that you're okay. It's because you freaking exist that you're okay. The egg and the sperm that made you, I don't know the number, but it's like a one in a lot of trillions to the ninth degree. It's a freaking miracle that you're here. So diagnoses or no diagnoses, it's awesome that you exist and you deserve to take up space. And that's my hope, where we can all at some point land and then use diagnostic labels as information so we can take care of ourselves. It's like, what is happiness? It's this fleeting thing that we can sometimes get a glimpse of and sometimes feel, but it's not someplace you live. It's a practice of a state that you get to inhabit periodically. And I think the same is true for feeling acceptance of ourselves. I know, because our minds are too complex to live there all of the time. So I don't think this is something we should all aspire to live in the place of total self-acceptance, but to make space for that's available in small doses, depending on environment, resources, privilege, safety, all of those things, assuming we've solved for those things. But it's a nice place to get to. And in the clinical world, diagnosis is the be all end all. It's like, this is your problem and this is what makes you broken. I'd rather look at it as, here's your diagnosis. This is what makes you human. Here's how your human brain adapted to the madness of life. And that's great. Now, what do we need to do to take care of it so you can feel better?
I love that. And as you were speaking, I was imagining, okay, so let's say there was this unconditional full acceptance. You're still stuck with the issues that are going to come up in your life that are annoying and complicated, you know, being overstimulated, sometimes being overwhelmed and then feeling stuck with a mess, because messes are often associated with ADHD for some. And so you're still going to be running into all of that. And so I'm trying to imagine, just like, you've got a mess all over, you're frozen and going, it's okay, I'm human.
It's not, it's okay, I'm human. It's, I'm human. And what are my choices right now? Because this doesn't feel good to live in this mess. And I struggle with sounds. I struggle with messes. It's like, why can't I put dishes away like a grown-up person? I have done very big things. I have overcome big things. But I can't get the damn dishes in the damn dishwasher. And when I do, it looks like, I saw a meme and it was like, one person in a couple is like a Swiss architect and the other is like a raccoon on crystal meth. I am the raccoon on crystal meth with the dishes. Why can't I just figure it out? I don't know. Is it the ADHD? Is it the trauma? I don't know.
You are speaking my language. I'm cracking up. Totally. I totally get you. And I think other people listening are laughing and getting it too.
Such a thing. Like, my things, my list of things is not short. So I'm not looking at my dishes, which are everywhere right now, going, oh, it's okay, I'm a wonderful human. It's more like, I am a wonderful human, even with this. And then here's the and I love the word and because it makes space for both the reality of diagnoses and humanness and messiness, but it also creates space for choice and action. Here's what's going on. What are my choices? And today I'm probably not going to make one. Just to be honest, today's probably not the day I figure out how to move those dishes the 7 inches from the sink to the dishwasher. It's just not going to happen. But maybe tomorrow I'll have the bandwidth to make some accommodations that would create the space for that to happen. We'll see.
I love that. Deep exhale for all of us who struggle with that. I remember as a young mom thinking, what the heck is wrong with me? Why can't I just take that and put it there? But I was like, I couldn't move. Like my physiology was like, it's not going to happen. And so the story of like, you're like this, you're like that, why can't you? So I love what you just shared and also the option of the and giving yourself the choice. And that choice might be, it's not going to happen today.
And that doesn't have to mean anything about my inherent value, right? I could sit here and say, well, my ADHD is putting me into a complete freeze state. So without a body double standing with me doing the thing, it's not going to get done. That's not untrue, but it's also, I'm making the choice to not do it today. I understand that the consequences of my not doing it are small enough that I'm willing to swallow them. You know, no one else is necessarily going to be hurt by my indecision. Me not doing the thing is not going to cause harm. So I'm choosing to not do it today. I'm not pinning on it. Oh, well, it's my ADHD, therefore I should just leave it. I understand that this is important and I don't have the bandwidth to do it today. And I'm still okay. And tomorrow I'll probably try to make some accommodations so it can get done because I don't like living in this. So it's all of the and. And I think my therapist.
I think we should call the title of this episode and.
Yes, because it's my ADHD brain or my neurodivergent in whatever form or diagnosis you have. Okay, great. And what else? And I'm still valuable. And what are my choices for accommodations? And will meds help me? And will doing ADHD protocols help me? And is it trauma? Maybe. I mean, the word and does a lot of jobs for us.
There's so much openness in that.
Yeah, there's no buts. It's, well, I could do this, but my brain. I could, but it's like, yes, my brain, and today's not the day. Well, you should care more, maybe, but I don't have the bandwidth to, so I'm just not going to.
So I'm going to ask, as a sign of self-compassion for yourselves, the listeners who are really identifying with what is happening here, to re-listen to that, because I think, and I'll join you re-listening to it, I think that that's really important as a sign of self-compassion is the and. Hmm. We listen.
And is where space is created for choice, for compassion, but also and is the thing that helps you find those moments of movement forward. Because we can, again, sit here on it's this and it's that and this caused this, therefore, and we're still stuck. And so we're just more insightfully stuck. So I want to get unstuck. I want to get moving. I want the damn dishes to go where they go. And today that's just not going to happen.
This was a great conversation. Is there anything you want to add to it? Any more ands?
My disclaimer is if anyone was listening, hoping for the definitive answer of does cause ADHD and here's how the labels work, I'm sorry because it's not my fault. I will say I wish I had an answer. Ands, I don't. And we're just going to be in this mess together finding ways. And I'm happy to share my tips and tricks. I know you are, which is why I love your work so much. And we're just going to keep doing this messy life together.
That sounds great. Speaking of your work, could you tell us about your book that's coming up?
Yes, I'm so excited because it's all about parts work. So part of your mind knows do the dishes and part of your mind is like, nope, we're not doing humaning at all today. And the book is called Align Your Mind, and it's all things parts work. It's inner critic voices that yell at you telling you you suck. It's the imposter that tells you who you think you are. It's the inner child that's like, I just want to be loved and have snacks. It's how do we all of these voices in our head get along? And someone said to me, well, does this book work if I have ADHD? Does this book work if I have trauma? And the answer is, maybe. Probably some of it, maybe not all of it, but like anything, I wrote the book to be really accessible. There's no clinical jargon in it. It's I write how I speak. Let's make this stuff easy to understand. Let's make the tools accessible and practical. practical. And it's one of my passions to help people feel less at war with their own minds and more at home in their bodies.
I have a question. So parts work, is it following like an IFS kind of model, or have you just kind of made it your own?
So it's heavily informed by the IFS model because that's my first love in the therapy world, but it's not an IFS book. I was actually so, and I'll tell you this real quick. I was so scared because although it's heavily drawn from IFS, I have my own stuff in there. I've got stuff from Jung. I've got stuff from Active Imagination and the old school 1970s inner child things. I mixed and matched a lot of them and then threw my own stuff in there. And I sent it to Dr. Richard Schwartz, who created Internal Family Systems. And this is his life's work. I've never met him in person, but he said a lovely blurb for Science of Stuck. I sent him the manuscript and I was like, Dr. Schwartz, you know how much I love IFS. Here's a book about parts work that's not IFS, but I gave you credit for all the IFS-y stuff. You know, I wanted you to see it first. And he wrote the most beautiful endorsement of it, which to my parts that really respect that he didn't invent parts, but he came up with the model that most of us in the clinical world reference, and it's been around for 40 years. So I have deep respect for it. And I was so delighted. My parts were so thrilled that he was like, okay, this is great. So long answer, it's not an IFS book, but it is heavily drawn from IFS. And I give lots of resources and reading recommendations. And if you want more IFS, do this and do this. IFS calls it this. Here's what I call it.
That is so great. When is it coming out?
So that book is available for pre-order now, and it'll be on sale May 13th.
Good. Well, maybe we'll have you back on and we'll go a little deeper into the book.
That would be so wonderful. I love chatting with you. I love how your mind works. I love that it's just a great place to noodle on hard ideas when we talk.
Thank you.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.